With your latest news, I'm April Cummings. Police say 100 packages of ganja were seized after officers on patrol smelled something suspicious near a school road restaurant. Police say it was just after 10 o'clock on Saturday night. They searched the area with the help of police canine Shadow. Then the dog led officers to the front fender of a vehicle where the officers discovered the packages filled with what appears to be ganja. A 48-year-old West Bay man has been arrested and formally charged with burglary, damage to property, consumption of cocaine and ganja in relation to an incident on November 29th, where an address on Boggy Sand Road in West Bay was broken into and items stolen. He was due to appear in court today. The Ministry of Commerce, Planning and Infrastructure has appointed Kristen Augustine as Energy Policy Coordinator. Details from Radio K-Man's Carsley Fuller.
In her new role, Mrs. Augustine will assist the ministry to deliver mission-critical initiatives under the National Energy Policy. She will also monitor government's position on emerging trends in the energy sector and provide guidance to the Energy Policy Council and key stakeholders on the National Energy Policy and its priority goals. The Minister of Planning says implementing the National Energy Policy is a strategic priority of the government, so having someone on board to coordinate and monitor the process is a step in the right direction. Mrs. Augustine holds a Master of Science degree in Spatial Planning from Oxford Brookes University, as well as a Bachelor's in Science and Management and Tourism from the University of Surrey in the UK. She has served in several capacities at the Department of Planning, where her responsibilities included overseeing operations teams, processing applications for planned area developments, meeting with customers to discuss planning issues, and training industry stakeholders on the online planning systems. In 2015, she completed a secondment to the ministry as a senior policy officer for 6 months before returning to the Department of Planning in the Senior Management of Operations post. Reporting for Radio K-Man News, I'm Carsley Fuller.
In 2020, Offreg will be asking local fuel companies to standardize their pumps with color coding for the different types of fuel being sold to consumers. During a previous meeting in the Legislative Assembly, Chief Fuels Inspector, Director of Fuels Market Duke Monroe, told lawmakers his office was in the process of creating a discussion paper to engage the public and industry as to the two colors being suggested to standardize local fuel dispensers. The idea behind the change was to address cases of misfueling.
We have gotten feedback from the industry in terms of the two colors that were proposed, primarily from the three brands, indicating that they are amenable to it. And once we have finalized on those colors, they will then need a transition time to move to those colors.
This week, Northside MLA Ezard Miller asked point blank when the decision would be made.
In 6 months, we will make the decision.
You're telling me Offreg determines that there's a safety risk because different fuel companies in this country are using different color handles, and is going to take Offreg 2 years and 6 months to come to a decision. This is a decision that you should be able to take in a week.
Mr. Monroe stressed that the consultation period actually started this year, not 2 years ago.
There's a risk of misfueling in the market, but it's not a safety risk. It's a means of advocating for our consumers, so whenever they go to service station, they know one color represents gasoline and another color represents diesel. The time frame is not a problem for us per se. If there are opportunities to implement it earlier, we will.
The discussion took part in Finance Committee Wednesday before the wrap-up as lawmakers debated annual $812,000 appropriations to Offreg for 2020 and 2021. Following a successful audit by the American Association for Laboratory Accreditation, the Water Authority's accreditation is extended through November 2021.
The 17025 ISO accreditation standard was revised in 2017 and focuses on technology developments. This pushed to stay abreast of new technologies in our field. It also ensures that as we deploy new technologies, we maintain the highest degree of integrity while protecting customer confidentiality.
Laboratory manager Marcella Martinez-Ebanks tells Radio K-Man the lab's accreditation was also expanded to ensure reliable testing of corrosion-related parameters in drinking water, specifically iron, copper, lead, and zinc. In addition, the lab is now accredited to test hydrogen sulfide in air.
This is the first parameter in air for which we received accreditation. The authority has been approached about hydrogen sulfide, as it smells like rotten eggs. It is released into the air from natural processes in groundwater, wetlands, lakes, and ponds. The authority obtained equipment and developed the methods to test hydrogen sulfide in the air. The accreditation for this parameter ensures that the data we collect is robust and reliable.
Water Authority Director Julia Frederick Van Genderen.
The continued and expanded accreditation means a lot to the authority. It is independent recognition and confirmation of the high standard, professionalism, and reliability of the laboratory. And I congratulate Marcella and her team on all their hard work and long hours to pass the audit successfully.
The accreditation was approved until November 30th, 2021. The lab undergoes external audits every 2 years to maintain its international accreditation. Volunteers with the Lean on Me Foundation, a group committed to helping those in need, make the holiday rounds.
Today we're going to be delivering food items and food vouchers to families in need. I would urge you, if you'd like to donate, to do so by the 12th of December. We truly appreciate it. And this will be our 8th year, and we're going to continue with our deeds over Christmas. And please support us.
Derry Dakers Lee there, speaking with CIGTV. Lean on Me committee members are joined each year by Miss Cayman Islands Universe as they make deliveries around the island. For more information, head to Lean on Me Cayman on Facebook. The Cayman Turtle Center certainly is known for its work with turtles, but they also have been doing conservation work to support Cayman's bird population. And today, dozens of those birds were released. Radio Cayman's Felicia Rankin-Solins was there.
Cayman's wildlife just got a little wilder, with the Cayman Turtle Center releasing their captive bred white-crowned pigeons and white-winged doves. Those in attendance got the chance to witness, and those lucky enough got to release their very own bird. Geddes Hislop, head of the terrestrial program, explained to the wide-eyed crowd what's unique about the white-crowned pigeons.
One, they're a Caribbean species. Two, they're one of few Caribbean birds that migrate. What's important about them is that they're fruit eaters. And by eating fruits, moving between islands, they transport seeds. Because many of the trees that we have here originated in Cuba, and then the trees got from Cuba to here. How did they get here? With these guys.
Hurricane Ivan caused numbers of these birds to dwindle, and with programs like these at the Turtle Center, they are contributing to the conservation of a species regionally.
After we had a major hurricane in 2004, their population was devastated, and we started rescuing birds. Some birds couldn't go back to the wild, so we started putting them into a breeding program. And from that breeding program, we were able to release offspring into the wild.
Due to their efforts, the birds are no longer classified as endangered, but are now labeled as near threatened.
But we continue the program because, remember, these guys don't stay here. So we're supplying other islands by extension, all the way down to Guadeloupe. Because there's a guy doing research in Guadeloupe that contacted us and said he found Cayman bird DNA in his samples.
It was not only a thrilling activity for those who took part, but for Radio Cayman's own Paulette Connolly Bailey, it was also a moving experience.
To me, it was very touching because when I found out I was going to get the opportunity to release the bird, I named the bird Henry after my late dad. So I released it in his memory. And it was awesome to see the conservation work that they're doing here.
3, 2, 1, go! Pick it up.
For Radio Cayman News, I'm Felicia Rankin-Solins.
11 white-crowned pigeons and 20 white-winged doves were set free at the Cayman Turtle Center. That is your latest local news. From Radio Cayman's newsroom, I'm April Cummings.